what the carbon markets are created for is to be able to fund projects all around the world to promote that decarbonization. Like imagine, to put an example, let's say a reforestation project in Colombia. And then I am a transportation company in Spain that I have operations in Colombia, and I want to compensate my operations in Colombia. So I go there and I like that project. I select it. I make a card on the number of tons that I have previously calculated. I purchase, I pay by card, credit card, PayPal, or transfer, wire transfer. And then the developer receives the money, cancels the certificate in the registry, and sends their certificate to your email. So basically what we want is the developer selling for the price they understand is the best for them. So that brings the best prices in the platform for the corporates and transparency that the money is going to that pocket. It's like selling, as we say in Spain, is selling directly from the farmer to the table. No? We come to mix and to put together the traditional world with the crypto world in order to be able to support projects through the democratization of climate change.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands that are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Francisco Benedict Valentin, the founder of Climate Trade, helps us navigate on this episode a very topical feature of carbon offsets. Carbon offsets, simply put, are when a company or individual pays through a developer who have on their portfolio conservation projects, such as paying a farmer in the Amazon not to cut down trees for farming. As a fintech company, they help their customers calculate accurately their carbon footprint and connect them to the carbon marketplace. Climate Trade engages with medium and small developers and connects them to the wide range of customers, may they be airlines, transportation companies doing the last mile delivery, technology companies, or companies in the financial sector. You may have come across at the checkout of many websites where you can opt to buy carbon offsets to offset your carbon footprint. How do you know the couple of bucks that you pay, the $2, $5 additional that you pay to an airline company actually goes to the conservation projects? And how do you know that your offset is not resold to multiple customers? Climate Trade, using the blockchain technology, assures you of complete transparency. You can pick the development project and they give you a certificate to assure you that your carbon offset is not resold in the marketplace. Let's learn more about this fascinating topic from Francisco Benedito Valentin, founder of Climate Trade. He joins us from Valencia, Spain. Welcome, Fran.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
Now is better than no time before for us as consumers, as entrepreneurs, as overall human beings on this planet Earth to implement sustainable practices. There are two ways we can approach it: reduce our emissions, and the second is by offsetting our carbon footprint. If you had to pick the top three activities that are the main contributors of CO2, what would they be?
Like basically today, obviously we are looking towards decarbonization in all different sectors, but obviously oil and gas is one of the principal ones, transportation. And then it could be a spread between fashion and other sectors that are polluting, but also construction is very important.
In very non-technical terms, can you tell us what are carbon offsets? How do they work?
Carbon offsets were created in order to be able to fund decarbonization. So there are countries, it was originated for that. There are countries that do not have, let's say, the enough capabilities in terms of funding to decarbonize their economies. So there are companies all around the world and governments that need to achieve carbon neutrality. And now with the Paris Agreement, achieving net zero. So basically, what we are doing is, what the carbon markets are created for, is to be able to fund projects all around the world to promote that decarbonization. So basically, for the people to understand, it's like green projects, let's say reforestation, afforestation, renewable projects in the initial part. Imagine that you are sourcing your energy from carbon, from coal, from other contaminant, let's say, sources, and you can substitute that for renewables. So at the very beginning, when this started in 1997, we needed to fund that renewables, and the carbon credits are a way to do it. So each carbon credit is 1 ton of CO2. Mm-hmm. And so whenever the companies measure their carbon footprint, or the citizens measure their carbon footprint, they can offset by buying these tons of CO2 mitigated in other places in the world, so they can compensate the carbon footprint.
So very simplistically put, a friend of mine explained it to me. He said, if I wanted to offset my personal carbon footprint based on a flight I took to, say, Spain, mm-hmm. I could reach out to these organizations which have green projects, for instance, and pay maybe a farmer in the Amazon not to cut trees. Is that accurate?
That's exactly the essence of what we are talking about, no? Basically, imagine that we need to go from Spain to, let's say, US, no? And I need to fly, obviously, because I need to get at the right time there, no? So basically, I have a carbon footprint of that flight. I need to calculate first that carbon footprint. And then exactly, I'm offsetting, I'm buying that, let's say, that mitigation or that reduction that is happening in other parts of the world. That's why we created that. What we do is we bring that developers all around the world in order for you to be able to deposit that money directly to them and to make a direct impact. I mean, so you have transparency and traceability that your funds are going towards directly to the projects. So you have full transparency and traceability of where your funds are going. So you know that you are generating an impact. That's what we have to do, no?
How do you find these projects?
Well, we source them from, I mean, we've been working on this with the part of the team we are is people with more than 15 years experience, each of them on this. We've been working with developers all around the world, big corporations that also, let's say, renewable corporations or companies that aside of their pure business, they have that type of projects that are more environmental friendly, to say somehow, that generate impact. And we engage with these companies, medium-sized developers, even small developers, that imagine that they were before selling wood, and now they decided not to sell wood and just to make a conservation project and keep their forest without being cut. No? Mm-hmm. And they develop this project and issue the credits that then we sell to third parties.
Really difficult part of this equation is measurement. How do you measure it?
It's not that difficult. I mean, basically, it is more complicated when there is a big conglomerate or corporation that has a lot of operations and different sources of carbon, let's say of footprint, no? Basically, there are, depending on the sector, and there are three scopes always, scope one, scope two, scope three. The one is regarding your own operations. Imagine oil and gas, let's say extraction, would be scope one. Mm-hmm. And second, scope two is regarding energy consumption. Imagine the energy you are consuming in your offices, that would be in your scope two, because it has a carbon footprint. You are burning fossil fuels or not, depending on that, you have one footprint or other. And the third one is depending of your, I like to call it third parties, your providers, your customers, and your employees. And that's the scope three. So then you have to measure all that in order to see which is your carbon footprint. If your providers are not carbon neutral, you will have to put that on your balance as a company. No? And in terms of citizens, it is very easy. I mean, you have to see your energy consumption, your transportation, your recycle or don't recycle, your diet, many things that you have to measure in order to that. But there are calculators to do that.
Let our listeners know who would be a typical customer for ClimateTrade.
ClimateTrade is working with a wide array of companies throughout the world. We work with the financial sector, banks. We work with transportation, not only trucks and physical transportation, and also last mile transportation, cargo shipping. And we have airlines as a customers. And imagine, for example, we have, when I told you, we work with telco companies, telecommunication companies also. But through these companies, we go also to the end user. No? For example, we don't only do B2B. I mean, we don't only sell to that corporations, but also we use, they want to offer their products and services carbon neutral. So with our technology, we are capable to sell phones carbon neutral. So you can offset when you buy a phone or an electronic. Even when you go to put gas in your car, in the gas station, you are able to compensate that exact refilling of your car. Mm-hmm. Or even when you go to a bank and you can offset your purchases with your credit card monthly.
So to clarify, say I'm Shell Corporation, I can offset my carbon footprint by using Climate Trade. And as a consumer, when I go to fill gas, I can also offset my consumption.
Yes, because at the end, you are deciding to drive a diesel car or a petrol car. So if you are conscious of, about the environment and you say, okay, I have this car, I'm not driving an electric car or a hydrogen car, I'm driving a diesel car, but still I don't want to pollute. I mean, you're polluting with your car. So I decide to offset that pollution that I'm emitting by, let's say, putting my a small part of that carbon I'm emitting. So I compensate in projects all around the world, so I'm not doing that harm to the environment.
So I decide to use your platform. So what is the credit risk that Climate Trade is taking?
Like basically, if you use our platform, you are buying directly from the developers. We are not buying and selling to you. I mean, you are the good part is that we put in front of each other companies with the developers all around the world. So we just get a fee per the transaction you develop, you do. And basically we don't take credit risk on that.
So you registered with the in the US and other countries that you operate in?
We operate internationally. And so what we do is the developer uploads the project in Climate Trade. They showcase their project. Like imagine, to put an example, let's say a reforestation project in Colombia. And then I am a transportation company in Spain that I have operations in Colombia and I want to compensate my operations in Colombia. So I go there and I like that project, I select it, I make a card on the number of tons that I have previously calculated. I purchase, I pay by card, credit card, PayPal or transfer, wire transfer. And then the developer receives the money, cancels the certificate in the registry and sends their certificate to your email.
So how do you ensure that this specific project does not fail?
Basically, we make an extra due diligence of every project that is uploaded to the platform. We don't allow everyone. We make a validation of the projects that want to be in our platform. So basically, we know the developers. We make a KYC and due diligence that that developer is the owner of that project that is being uploaded in Climate Trade. And then we secure that that credits are really under their name in the registries. We have accounts, obviously, in the registries. Mm-hmm. And then whenever they upload it, we know that they have that amount they are selling. And obviously, they don't receive the transfer until they provide the certificates.
There are carbon exchanges all around the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Explain to our listeners, how do carbon exchanges operate?
Well, there are different types, no? Until now, normally the market was being operated by brokers, and still it is in the most of the percentage of the operations in the world are managed by brokers. So basically the carbon markets that are around the world are more trading platforms and are being used mainly by brokers that they then sell to the corporations like the traditional way. What we brought is two innovations, no? I mean, the added value of showcasing projects with marketing materials. I mean, you can see the project where you want to select for your company in order to offset.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not just a number of the number of tons and that one project has. It is more detailed information about what you are buying. And second, we provide blockchain technology in order to provide transparency and traceability where the money is going. You know that it goes to the developer and how much it goes to the developer, because it's not about only offsetting, is about generating positive impact and generating the right price for the developer. Because if not, maybe he cannot maintain their operations and then we are not doing any good for the planet because they won't be able to maintain properly the project or generate new projects.
If I take this and use the analogy of the stock exchange, either you trade directly on the stock exchange or you use investment houses to do it for you. Is that a good comparison?
Yeah, I mean, but it is not a commodity. Like it can be, for example, there are two types of markets. There is the mandatory and the voluntary. We are talking about voluntary here. We operate in both, but we started with the voluntary. And this is the one that we are one of the main operators, one of the main platforms. So basically in the voluntary market, there are projects that are uploaded, no? And it is not just like we are not buying shares of Tesla and that it is everyone is the same, no? We are buying units in a project, okay? Which, yeah, they are the same, that units, but they have particularities of depending on the year, depending on, and so each project is unique. And I mean, if you are compensating 2021 for your operations in 2021, maybe you don't want to buy one offset generated in 2003. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously you want to generate them, depending on that, they have a price or other, no, more or less price. No, also there are particularities on the type of project there is. It's not the same value for a renewable project than a reforestation project. It's not the same, the value for a project in China than in a project in the Amazonia. There are particularities, no? So it is not like a commodity that it can be like that easily sold, which normally it was, but I think that we have, there are some intangibles in every project that need to be showcased and they need to be understood, no? Today I was talking to one of the registries and standards more important in the world, preparing one panel, and they determine all the SDGs that are in every project that give more value to that type of project, no?
There's a lot of matchmaking that needs to take place, which is sort of the service that you offer.
Yes, that's why we created the marketplace also. But at the same time, we add value with our team. So we have a lot of expertise in the carbon markets, and we advise also in the companies which are the best offsets they need to buy in order to not only compensate, but in order to avoid the greenwashing, in order to be able to generate a positive impact and being able to communicate that positive impact they are generating to their customers. Mm-hmm. It's very relevant. Today, the consumers are prosumers, and you as a consumer, you have a lot to say in order to, for your company, let's say, to bring to your hands the product that you desire. And the product you desire is one product that it is not contaminant, no? Or at least every time less contaminant, no? Because obviously we have sectors that they cannot be, let's say, net zero or pure, let's say, that avoiding that contamination. Because imagine airlines. We don't have a way to transform today the airline in a sector not contaminant because the hydrogen planes will take time to come, no? And the biofuels, the engines today cannot assume to have 100% biofuel, no? And the price of that biofuel could be too expensive for our pockets to be flying them, no? That takes time. I mean, what is important is to have common sense in terms of the companies, what they are doing. They need to have it in their mindset. Every time more the investors and the world is demanding from CEOs and from the boards of the companies common sense, and they are demanding people that they have the clear idea that they want to change the way their company is behaving towards the planet. And on that side, that's something, there's no other way. I mean, there's just moving forward, and that's going to be like that. I mean, you can be a CEO that you don't believe in climate change. You won't be longer CEO at some point because your company is going to take you out, because your company wants to keep selling their product. And at the end, your consumer is going to demand you that, no?
The service that you provide kind of inhibits the companies from going directly and buying the carbon credit from various public exchanges. How much does Climate Trade charge for these services?
Basically, Climate Trade, compared to traditional brokers, is much, much cheaper because in terms of savings of more than 50% compared to traditional brokers, because you are buying directly from the source. You are buying directly from the developer. So normally the traditional operations had a charge in the voluntary, like spreads, sometimes even more than 100%. No? Mm-hmm. And now, and even imagine the traders like buying, stocking, and then waiting for the right time to sell their product or not selling in order to make the price to go up, or even the double counting we were saying, no? Saying several times, same credit. So basically what we want is the developer selling for the price they understand is the best for them. So that brings most the best prices in the platform for the corporates, and transparency that the money is going to that pocket. So at the end, is offering demand also, like in other places, but you have at least directly. It's like selling, as we say in Spain, is selling directly from the farmer to the table.
So if I am a corporation, the valuation probably changes over time, right? How do I know the valuation is? Do I get a monthly statement? I'm comparing these to like just a simple stock, buying stocks, or, you know, some other forms of, not really investment, but some other commodities that are traded.
There are some references in the market for value of voluntary market. There are some It's in the Standard & Poor's Platts, and there are even softwares that are coming up now in terms of valuing transactions and how the market is evolving. We have a reference in Europe in the mandatory, which is, in my opinion, is not a, let's say, accurate reference today, but it is approximate. Today we are looking at Europe is 80 euros a ton, but it's in the mandatory market. That doesn't happen in the voluntary. In the voluntary, we are talking about prices around $50 a ton, more or less, in the mitigation credits. And if you go to high quality and carbon removals, we would be talking more than $25, more or less. No? That's growing in terms of, like, the demand has grown a lot, and obviously the prices has been going up also. Probably since we started, it's been up fivefold since 2017, more or less. Mm-hmm. And consider that when we started in 2017, mandatory in Europe was around 9 euros a piece. Now it's 81. The growth is exponential and it's going to keep growing. No? So basically, there are some references in the markets, and soon we will have more tools to provide that and to provide accurate prices on what is happening, no, in the market.
When did you start Climate Trade?
What was the first beta version of Climate Trade was 2018. We created the first platform then, and that year we were recognized by the UN as the best solution in the world for the carbon markets. Let's say the new carbon markets now, post-2020, which is the kickoff of Paris Agreement, where it was approved this year, last year in Glasgow. No? That was the initial year when we started to knock at the door of the companies.
And prior to that, you were a banker?
Yes, I was. I've been entrepreneuring very young. I created my first company when I was 16. Then it came the bubble of the dot-com 90s. And then I sold the company and I started to business and law and business. And I made an MBA and I started to work with one of the leading tech banks in the world for 15 years. And then I embraced blockchain at the very beginning when the Bitcoin came out. Well, I became one of the, let's say, first practitioners of blockchain, to say somehow. And well, from there, I created Climate Coin in 2016. I created the concept Climate Coin, the first tokenized carbon credit in the world. It was too early for us, but it was great because we learned a lot about what was coming. And now we are, like, that's why we are innovating constantly in Climate Trade. And also we have the concept and the brand of Climate Coin that we are relaunching this year in April, in the Earth Day. Yeah, that was pretty much the story.
So what is Climate Coin? You said you're going to relaunch it this spring.
Climate Coin is a tokenized carbon credit. So basically the people will be able to purchase a ton of CO2 and have it in their phone, in their wallet. They will be able to offset their carbon footprint thanks not only citizens, but also corporations. They will be able to offset their carbon footprint by buying Climate Coin. And at the same time, they will be able to hold it. And let's say experiment the increase on prices on carbon over years. So Climate Coin is a way of, it has a multiple applications, no? But basically will be, like, it is something that mixes the traditional, I mean, like, the most of the people are not common to, let's say, crypto, no? There's a small percentage of the world population that know, obviously everyone heard about Bitcoin, pretty much everyone, but we need to bring it to, we have the brand Climate Coin and everyone can understand what a Climate Coin may be, no? We come to mix and to put together the traditional world with the crypto world in order to be able to support projects through the democratization of climate change.
I see a contradiction here. Cryptocurrencies use up so much energy with their proof of work, their POWs.
We don't work with proof of work. We work with proof of stake. That's why I told you. The great part of being the first in the world doing this, my partners and I, is that we learn a lot, no? You can say whatever, but you will learn. You make mistakes. You have learnings, no? And so basically we've been working. We started with only Ethereum and Bitcoin. And, well, probably another ones, Monero and not many others, and not some others. Mm-hmm. But we keep moving until we are working today with Algorand, with this proof of stake and the less polluting blockchain worldwide. We have created an algorithm that allows that blockchain to be compensated, the transactions to be compensated real time. So it's net today is carbon not yet carbon negative, but we are working to make it carbon negative, it's carbon neutral. And today we are happy to say that we use a blockchain that doesn't do the opposite whenever you use it. No, I mean, because not everyone can say that. No, so I couldn't be doing my business selling something tokenized that in the other side would be polluting more. No, I would be having to buy to give two offsets, not one. No.
So explain to our listeners who are very new to the crypto world, what is proof of work first, and what is proof of stake? So let's start with, what is proof of work?
Proof of work is whenever you generate a cryptocurrency, like Bitcoin, for example, you need to make, there is a software that allows you to make some type of transactions, and you have to generate some algorithms, some transactions in your computer, some calculations that your computer needs to do in order to be able to issue one coin, no? That issuance of that coin is called mining. It's like if you were mining, no? That's the proof of work, because you are working to generate that. That miners that are called the people that are generating that coins, they validate the transactions on the network. Mm-hmm. So every time that you need to issue one transaction in a blockchain, you need to have a validation by a validator. No, and that generates energy, a lot of energy consumption. No?
And that's because this whole process is decentralized.
Yes.
We don't have like a central bank doing it.
Exactly.
There are individuals here validating that what is given is a genuine coin.
Correct. Basically, it is a system that requires a work by some validator, that some user, let's say, that later the network will validate. No, I mean, at the end, it's a decentralized network. For the audience to understand, I mean, blockchain is chain of blocks. No, so you generate, when you generate data and you register it in blockchain, you generate a block, and then you generate more blocks that you put. That's what is called blockchain.